Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back again with another edition of Phillies Today, coming to you right after a Phillies win where they take 3 of 4 down in Miami from the Marlins. Really good series win after sweeping the Blue Jays at home this past weekend. And they set themselves up for what is going to be an incredibly exciting series this upcoming weekend against the New York Mets, who, depending on what happens down in Atlanta tonight, could end up being tied for first place heading into this series, which should be really fun. It's going to be a really, really nice weekend in the Philadelphia area. Ballpark should be on fire. Obviously, a rematch of the National League Division Series from last year. So just exciting, exciting stuff coming this weekend, and exciting stuff with this baseball team right now. Like, yes, I get it. It's the Miami Marlins, and they did what they were supposed to do. They took 3 of 4, and they're coming off of, you know, a few good series now after what was a rough week a couple weeks ago, where we kind of had to think about, you know, is this a team that can really go and make another push at the World Series, and is it worth pushing your chips in at the trade deadline? And I think they're answering a lot of those questions right now. And are they a perfect team? No. Like, clearly there are some bullpen flaws that need to be addressed. Another right-handed bat absolutely needs to be added at this deadline, and I'll get into that in a little bit here. But I think this team is giving you plenty of reason to be excited and to go all in on them and be able to feel like, you know what, I can feel good about this team moving forward and they can be a World Series contender. So exciting stuff down in Miami. Really, really excited for this weekend. Of course, we will get into a Mets preview before we wrap up the show, as well as lineup, starting pitching, bullpen thoughts, all of that as well. Also have some early trade deadline thoughts. I know it's a month and change away, but wanted to talk about some things regarding the deadline as well. And so we'll see where that takes us. But fired up about the Phillies, literally coming to you right after the game on Thursday night, which Christopher Sanchez, like, my goodness. First of all, how many All-Stars are going to be in the starting staff right now? If Jesus Luzardo didn't have those two starts where his ERA absolutely ballooned up to 4-something and gives up 20 earned runs in those two starts, like, you're looking at 4 potential All-Stars on this staff between Wheeler, Sanchez, Ranger, who we're definitely going to get to in a little bit, and Luzardo there. So just incredibly impressive stuff from this pitching staff, which was obviously the strength of this team going into the year, and it is something that they have relied on heavily. And that's why coming into the season, I really came to form the mentality of, you know, this team should really sleepwalk to 90 wins because their starting pitching gives them a chance in every single game, essentially. And that's not including the contributions that Mick Abel has given you with Aaron Nola being out. We'll get to some Aaron Nola news as well here in a minute. So all around, great, great couple of weeks from this pitching staff and has given them a chance to win every single game. And that is all you can ask. And I'll start with Chris Sanchez because he did much more than that tonight. Goes 8 innings, 5 hits, I believe, a ton of ground ball outs. And I had kind of mentioned in the last few podcasts how I thought Chris Sanchez was maybe living in the zone a little too much and didn't have the exact same strikeout stuff as he did last year, wasn't getting the same amount of swings and misses. I thought tonight he pitched in the zone with a purpose. Like, the amount of ground balls he got, now some were hard hit, and I will give the Phillies infield credit. They made the plays when needed, except Alec Boehm in that 9th inning when almost potentially cost them the game. But we'll say Alec Boehm has been really good at third base this year, and it had been a while since he had made an error. But Ryan Kirkring cleans it up for him. But as I was saying, Christopher Sanchez really felt like he pitched to contact with a purpose tonight, really attacked the Marlins hitters, who don't strike out a lot in the first place. So they are the type of team that you want to pitch to contact. And the way he was able to just be incredibly efficient was 90 pitches heading into the 9th inning. I would have given him the 9th, but Rob Thompson elects to go with, you know, their potential new closer in Orion Kirkring, who slams the door down despite the Boehm error. So really, really impressive stuff from Christopher Sanchez tonight. And is one of those guys similar to Ranger and similar to Wheeler, honestly. Like, when they get in a rhythm and they start working really fast, and you could tell that they are just in that type of zone, and they're pitching in a way where the opposition is dying to get them out of the game. It's really fun to watch. So Christopher Sanchez, just really, really impressive tonight. Again, goes 8 innings and was just really impressive in terms of getting ground ball outs and being able to work efficiently and save the bullpen, which obviously, if you've been watching this team, the bullpen is not a strength right now, especially since Jose Alvarado was suspended. So anytime you can get 8 innings out of your starting pitcher, you will certainly take that on this Phillies team. And Sanchez, ERA down to 2.87 after a really impressive outing tonight. So great stuff there from Christopher Sanchez. And the other lefty that's been phenomenal on this team of late has been Ranger Suarez, who now has 8 consecutive quality starts. That leads the major league in terms of most quality starts in a row actively as we speak. So his ERA is down to 2.2, and what he's doing is also pretty special there. And he's done the same thing in terms of pitching to contact and being able to stay in the zone with a purpose. And obviously, he doesn't have the velocity that Christopher Sanchez does. So what he's been doing has been extra special, and he just seems like he has his A stuff right now in terms of playing the breaking ball off the fastball, and of course, having one of the best changeups maybe in the sport doesn't hurt him as well. So great outing from him the other night as well. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, which is a lot for Rangers. So another really impressive outing from him. I'm excited to see what he kind of does moving forward, and he is very well in play for an all-star bid despite missing the first month or so of the season. So great stuff from Ranger there. Lizardo the other night in Miami, will say, probably wasn't his best start in terms of the stuff he had. Was definitely getting hit around a little bit there, but still, goes 5 innings, gives up 2 runs on his own, and then the bullpen kind of allowed those 2 inherited runs to come across there, which did not help him at all. But I thought Lizardo's been much better, that one start was obviously great coming off of the 20 earned runs in the 2 games, but I thought he was just okay down in Miami in his homecoming, because that's his hometown, obviously his former team, and maybe a little bit of nerves had something to do with that. But he'll be going again on Sunday night, and would expect hopefully to see more of what we saw in his start a couple starts ago against the Cubs rather than what we saw down in Miami. But still, overall, I think it's been a great first half for Jesus Lizardo. He's healthy, which is most important. And he's, of course, had a great beginning to the season before those 2 little blow-up starts there. So we'll continue to monitor the Jesus Lizardo situation. Zach Wheeler, he's Zach Wheeler. He just continues to be dominant, and he is going to go Friday night in what should be a really, really fun atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park. And I'm excited to see him go up against his former team and hopefully do what he did in game 1 of the National League Division Series last year, which was, go 7 innings, 1 run. And, of course, the bullpen kind of collapsed from there. We all know what happened. But last Sunday, I thought he was really impressive against the Blue Jays, going 6 innings, 1 run. You can basically interchange all these stat lines for all these starting pitchers where they just continue to dominate. And like I said, quality starts, give their team a chance to win night in and night out. So before I get to the lineup here, Mick Abel has still been, I think, really effective in the starting rotation so far, which is good to see, because he is a guy that they will, I would say, likely be shopping at the deadline in terms of making improvements elsewhere. Because if you can get anything close to what typical Aaron Nola is when he comes back in August, and I guess I'll say it now, Aaron Nola was transferred to the 60-day IL today. That doesn't mean that he's out for 60 more days. It means it's retroactive to when he was first placed on the IL. So I would expect that we don't see him until probably August-ish, because he has that cracked rib now, and it's a stress fracture. I shouldn't say cracked rib, but the official term is a stress fracture in his rib. From, I guess, when he was sick, they said they don't really even know how it came about. It was just something where maybe it was a cough or a sneeze that sort of caused that. So that's concerning. And it'll be a good reset for him, though, I think. I think he just has to get healthy, and he can take his time, obviously, to come back here with how the starting staff is pitched and with Andrew Painter coming up eventually as well. Andrew Painter, by the way, the other night, pitching on 4 days rest for the first time since 2021. Again, had a nice bounce back outing. 5 innings pitched, 1 hit, no runs, 6 strikeouts, and only 2 walks. So good to see a bounce back outing from Painter there. He will be up, I would assume, sometime late July, maybe towards the trade deadline, and just continues to work on his stuff down there in AAA. So With all that in mind, Mick Abel is definitely a guy who's going to be available at the trade deadline, I would think. And for him to be able to showcase his skills the way he is right now and become a valuable piece at the trade deadline, I think is ultra important for this team because, you know, let's face it, they have a surplus of starting pitching. And as much as I like Mick Abel and as I think well as he's pitched so far up here and clearly has shaken off what was a couple rough years down in AAA, it's been pretty impressive to see what he's been able to do. But ultimately, he's a guy who is a piece. And if you want to be able to really improve this team at the deadline, and if you feel that they're a true World Series contender, those are the type of guys that you have to be able to be okay with giving up at some point. So good stuff from Abel. He's really kept them afloat with Aaron Nola on the IL and has not really skipped a beat in terms of what they're getting out of that fifth spot in the pitching staff. So good stuff from Mick Abel as well. So I want to get to the lineup stuff. One big story, of course, I have to touch on was the Nick Castellanos stuff from earlier this week. I'll give my opinion on it real quick first. If you didn't see, Nick Castellanos taken out on Tuesday night, I believe, as a defensive replacement in the game against the Marlins. And he apparently didn't take too kindly to that and said, quote, an inappropriate comment to Rob Thompson. We do not know what that comment is yet, but obviously I would think it would be pretty bad for them to break his 260-some game stretch of starting and basically his Cal Ripken streak to came to a close as they showed him the bench the next night. And it seems like it has been resolved, and Rob was said that they benched him and this was punishment. And Castellanos later came out, didn't really apologize, but did say that he understood the reasoning why Rob Thompson did what he did, and it seems like they're over it now. And of course, as the beautiful game of baseball plays out, he makes the game-saving catch on a ball on Wednesday night.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Which, of course, is just really funny to see. And I will say, was a catch where most right fielders probably get to that ball pretty easily, but I just thought it was funny that he ends up catching the game-sealing ball there on Wednesday night. But it does bring up an interesting sort of debate here, because then the next, as I said, he catches that ball in the ninth inning the next night, and they don't defensively replace him after, the night before they opt for defense late in the game with a lead. And I thought it was just pretty interesting the way that Rob handled this whole thing. And I actually think I like how he handled it, despite, having two different ideologies from night to night, because this is something I think against the Marlins in the regular season where you can say, you know what, I don't want to lose Nick Castellanos for the rest of the season. He is somebody where if we're going to make a World Series run and we're going to get into the postseason with 90, 95 wins, we need Nick Castellanos. And I don't think anybody's trading for him because of the contract. I don't think teams are lining up for Nick Castellanos, but you need him mentally here because younger guys look up to him. I think he's a bat when he's going that is really crucial in the lineup. And he's somebody ultimately that is going to have to produce for you if this team is going to end up making a run here. So I think that having him mentally still with the team and mentally locked in on things was really, crucial. And for him to be able to make that play the next night and be able to contribute in a way on defense to where he feels good, Rob feels good, the team feels good, I think is really important. So I know that Rob kind of went against his own ideology there by keeping him in the game in that ninth inning, but I think it's something in a regular season game against the Marlins that you have to do. Now, I will say, it'll be interesting this weekend in a bigger series against the Mets, who I know this is a series in June, and it's not the end-all be-all in the NL East. The Mets could sweep the Phillies, and the Phillies could end up going on an incredibly hot run and win the division by 7 games. And that is something that realistically could end up happening, like the Mets sweeping the Phillies earlier this year. But it's a big series, I think. And I would wonder in a scenario like the one we saw in Miami where Castellanos just batted, it's the ninth inning, do you want to make a defensive replacement there? Does it give them a better chance? Probably. And in a bigger series like the one you're going to have right here against the Mets, I do wonder if he's not afraid to hurt Nick Castellanos' feelings like that. But he set the precedent for it in Miami, and I think it's something that Nick Castellanos in the future is probably just going to accept. And I think that ultimately in the long run, this could end up being a good thing. And hey, the Eagles, when they won the Super Bowl, had a bunch of moments like this, whether it was Nick Sirianni after the game against the Browns yelling at the fans, whether it was Brandon Graham coming on the radio station and, you know, kind of airing out Jalen and AJ's dirty laundry on the air. I think that this could end up being a good thing for this team and could be a little turning point in the season. So that's where I'm at on the Knicks situation. Just thought it was interesting the way it all sort of played out those last couple days here. So aside from that, Boehm and Trey, really, really impressive with Bryce Harper out. I think that they have really carried the load in the lineup. And for Trey to be hitting the way that he is and to be, I think, what should be a no-brainer all-star this year, Lindor will probably start, but Trey should certainly get in there as a reserve. Like, he's the most hits in the National League. I think ever since that error that cost them the game a few weeks ago, he has been superb in the field. Like, quick hands, I think clean throws to first, and the range has been good. I think it's been really good to see him contribute both offensively and defensively, but what he's doing at the plate right now is really special, and that's the guy that they signed to play shortstop here in Philadelphia for $300 million. And it's been really fun to watch, and I think with Bryce out, sometimes he can thrive being like, okay, this is sort of, you know, me that sets the tone for this lineup, and I'm the leadoff hitter now. And Trey's really succeeded since taking over that leadoff hitter spot full-time, and it's been really good to see. So him, Boehm, as I said, been scorching hot since the start of May. He's hitting like 340-something. Really, really impressive from Boehm, and looking a lot like the guy we saw in the first half of last season. So still not really hitting for much power, but I will say that ball against the Blue Jays that he hit, what, 433? I thought that was one of the furthest balls I've ever seen him hit. So that was a good sign, but really good stuff from Boehm in the middle of the lineup there. Bottom of the order, still contributing as well. I think JT, over the course of the last week or so, has really made a concerted effort to hit the ball the other way and to sort of pepper right field a little bit and not sort of pull pitches where he can sometimes, you know, ground and double plays and just smash the ball into the ground to a shortstop. So I appreciate the, you know, adjustment that he's made, and I think that it's something where he can build off that, and that's a method that I think can work for him for, you know, the course of the regular season. If he can just continue to spray the ball the opposite way, keep the ball in the air, and, you know, avoid grounding into double plays a little bit, he can still be a productive hitter. And is he going to be the JT Realmuto that, you know, we had in 2019, 2020, 2021? Probably not. But I think this is the type of JT that can be a productive guy, and he's done that the past week or so. So that's good. Marsh also, I think, has been really, really good over the, probably since he's come back from the IL. And what was he hitting 095 at that point? And now he's hitting, you know, what, 260? So that's not an easy thing to do. And even tonight, he had a few outs where he hit the ball really hard. And I got to say, that Marlins Park, aside from it being a horrific stadium to just watch a baseball game in on TV, like, it just is a cavernous Grand Canyon dome that you can hear every single little thing that's going on there. But it's super deep, too. And Marsh smashed a couple balls out into the gaps there, and they got caught. But it's been a good sign because he's hitting the ball really, really hard. And for him, who seemed like it was almost going to be a lost season for the first month of the year, then goes on the IL to sort of reset himself, really, really good to see him contribute in a way that can, you know, hopefully be sustained throughout the course of the regular season here. So good stuff from the lineup. Bryce Harper, little update on him. He took dry hacks at Citizens Bank Park today. Tomorrow he's expected to be able to hit off of a tee. And an interesting move that the Phillies made today, just in terms of their minor leagues, was they sent down Weston Wilson and they brought back up Buddy Kennedy, who, you know, as we know, can play the outfield a little bit. But I think it's something, a move that could signify that Otto Kemp could potentially make the move to left field really soon, which would obviously indicate that Bryce Harper would be back sooner rather than later. So hopefully the hitting off the tee goes well tomorrow, and there's a chance he could be back maybe later this weekend. So that is something to definitely keep an eye out for. Hopefully Bryce, when he comes back, isn't rushed back. The wrist feels okay, and they can sort of go from there. But just got to hope that he feels good on Saturday after he has that tee work at Citizens Bank Park tomorrow. Also, great to see Bryson Stott hit that homer the other night, I got to say. He's really been going through it. Was, what, batting, I think, less than 200 since, I think, the start of May. And His OBP is, you know, below 300 at this point, and was just really rough go for Bryson Stott for a little while there, but gets the big three-run home run on Wednesday night and allowed them to win that game. So hopefully he can continue to keep that up as well. So some quick bullpen notes before I get into the weekend preview with the Mets. Orion Kerkering seems to be the new closer for the Phillies, which is really cool. And I think that he always has had the type of stuff. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, right when he came up in 23, I was like, this guy's got closer stuff. Between the sweeper and a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, if he can ever just get command of that fastball and be able to throw it with some real conviction, like, we have something pretty special here. And he's only 24 years old still, and I think he's shown this year that he's probably their most reliable reliever right now between Romano's inconsistencies, Strom, who's been really struggling lately. I think with Strom, you know, his big thing is deception and kind of doesn't have the velocity, doesn't have the stuff that he had last year, and right now it's kind of getting exposed for that a little bit. But getting back to Kerkering for a second, I think that the way he's throwing the fastball is allowing him to have that success, and he's earned to get into that closer spot. So closed out his second save tonight against the Marlins, which was great to see. And like I said, Bohm made the error too, was able to bail him out. So nice stuff to see from Kerkering there. But really, between all those guys I just mentioned and like the Tanner Banks, the Joe Rosses, the Mercados, the Taiwans of the world, like, Kerkering's really the only guy you truly, truly trust right now. So they're going to have to get multiple arms at the deadline. There's no doubt about it. And they're probably going to have to mortgage some prospects to be able to do it. And I mentioned Abel. Justin Crawford, probably another guy that I'm shopping a little bit at the deadline. And there are some guys in the minor leagues right now who I just don't know if I can part ways with. Obviously, Painter, Aiden Miller, who has continued to heat up down in Redding after kind of a slow start to the year. And two really high riser so far in single A this year have been Eduardo Tait, who seems to be the catcher of the future here. We'll see if his glove can continue to improve behind the plate. And Arun Escobar, who has absolutely been flying up prospect boards so far this year. Second baseman, who I think is Acuna's cousin, if I'm not mistaken. Really killing it down there in Clearwater with the Threshers. So those are probably the guys I'm leaning away from unless you can get a really, really big-time name in here. So I think the Mick Abels of the world, the Crawfords of the world, the Rinconas of the world, some of those guys are probably going to be the guys you're shopping. And hopefully you can get a bullpen arm in here, and hopefully you can get a right-handed bat in here at the deadline, because those are sort of the two things that they need right now. And if they can, you know, accomplish that and maybe have a bit of a better deadline they've had the last couple of seasons, then I think that this thing can really come together here. Assuming Bryce can get back healthy, I think that's a big caveat in this whole thing. So want to get to a Mets preview because this is a big weekend down at Citizens Bank Park. We've got some nice weather, finally. It feels like every weekend this year so far, at least since, you know, Memorial Day, it's been horrible weather. And we finally get a really, really nice weekend down at the ballpark. Three against the Mets in what should be, you know, for a series for first place. And right now, as we speak, the Braves are beating the Mets 7-1 in the seventh inning. So we'll assume that the Braves win that one, which means that they're tied heading into tomorrow night. So that should line up for a really, really exciting weekend down at the ballpark. The place should be on fire. I'll be down there tomorrow night. So really, really looking forward to that. It's going to be super fun. So Friday night, Zach Wheeler against his former team, mentioned it. I think against the bullpen game for the Mets, it was supposed to be Tyler McGill to start, but he just went to the IL, so I think it's going to be a bullpen game with Justin Hageman potentially being their bulk guy, and he had one outing in Minnesota so far this year and was actually not too bad. So I feel like he was the type of guy that would go five innings or so and give up one run against the Phillies because that's just how it works. But yeah, went 3 1/3 against the Twins earlier this year and also pitched a scoreless inning against the Braves earlier this year as well. They just brought him up from AAA. So that'll be the deal on Friday night. Saturday night, Mick Abel against Griffin Canning. We'll see if he can, you know, Mick Abel can put on another impressive outing, continue to, you know, make his trade stock even higher. And Griffin Canning has been going the other way since his hot start has sort of hit the regression here lately. But Sunday night, Jesus Luzardo, David Peterson. Again, hopefully Luzardo can bounce back from what was sort of a rough start down there in Miami and can get back to where he was at with the 10 strikeout game against the Cubs a couple of weeks ago. So going to be an awesome weekend at the ballpark. If you're going down there, have fun. It's going to be awesome. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. See ya.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.